Let's pray. Lord, we know that when you listen, you speak to us. Help us to listen with clarity, and so to hear your voice. And may we be open to receiving your message and carrying it through in our lives. Amen. Right. Every day we make choices in life. Sometimes they're important choices, they seem important to us. Sometimes they don't really seem that important, they're fairly trivial, or we think they are, and then maybe years later we realize actually that was quite an important choice. Didn't take us long to make it, but it did make a difference in our lives. Choices, trivial, choices important. We make them all the time. I had a couple of little grandchildren staying with me for a day or two there. They're actually on their way home now. I think it was Thursday night, they'd just arrived, and the first thing, of course, they wanted was to be in the sea. I had to choose, was I going to go into the sea with them? That took me about 30 seconds. Well, no, didn't take me 30 seconds, 2 seconds. The choice was made. But there are more important choices. Choices that last with us. Choices that we have to live with, whether we really want to or not. Some of the more important choices come as we grow older. When we're very young, of course, we don't really make choice other than when to cry. But then we get older and, you know, going to primary school, we probably haven't chosen our own primary school, but they're beginning to be choices to be made. We probably have some input into our secondary school, certainly into GCSEs, into A-levels. Then we have to choose a career. Sometimes it changes, but we have to make some choices. And often, for many, the most important choice of all is, who would you like to be a partner to in life, if indeed that is the way forward for us? Some of the choices we make are important, not only for ourselves, but for our families and for society around us. The choices we make. We've just made a big choice in society around. The general election's just over. Most of us, I think, at the end of an election campaign, have a great sense of relief that it's all gone. But these choices are important because they determine the kind of society in which we are going to live, the kind of people we are going to be, the kind of opportunities not only that we have, but that other people have. This particular election was interesting. I found it interesting because there was very little about policy, really. It was all about integrity. It was about trust. It was about the values we place in people. And those were the kind of choices we were making. And we had to make them, and hopefully make them wisely. Joshua is one of the great leaders of Israel. Perhaps some would argue the greatest, although of course there are others that would say Moses. Later on, there's David. But Joshua certainly had an impact, and the choices he made were important. The Israelites had come through a difficult time, their slavery in Egypt. Then they'd had 40 years wandering in the wilderness. Moses was not allowed to lead Israel into the promised land. He'd been disobedient. He had not carried through God's plan. And so he was told, you're not going into the promised land, but Joshua is, your apprentice, if you like. And so Joshua had the task of preparing the people to cross the River Jordan and then to lead them to the land that was described as a land flowing with milk and honey. And that's how they found it. Of course, there were battles. Children will be keen to tell us that Joshua fought the Battle of Jericho. It wasn't much of a battle, actually. But Joshua was the leader. He took the people in. They settled in the land. And they, for a time, remembered very vividly the years in the desert, the wilderness. They remembered, some of them, the years in slavery. But as they settled in this promised land, this land of comfort, they began to allow those memories to fade into the background. They were being transformed from a nomadic people who traveled all the time into a settled people who had lands and fields and neighbors. And they became friendly with the neighbors, so they should. We don't want to be fighting with our neighbors. But the danger that Joshua saw was an important one. The danger for Joshua was that as they settled with people they became close to, that they would begin to allow the standards and the norms of those people to influence their lives rather than the God and the standards of Israel. They could easily assimilate and simply become part of the general scene in Canaan. And Joshua knew that that would be the end of Israel. And so he called them together to a holy place, to Shechem. And he said, "Now fear the Lord," he said. "Serve him with all fearfulness. Throw away the gods your forefathers worshipped beyond the river and in Egypt. And serve the Lord. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Choose whom you will serve. You know, life for us today isn't all that different, in some ways, isn't all that different from the situation of the Israelites in their new land, surrounded by people whose beliefs were different, whose practices were different, whose standards were not the standards of the God of Israel. We are surrounded by people, many of whom would question if there is a God. We are surrounded by people, certainly, for whom God is not that important in life. But God's standards are real. God's way is just. God's law is perfect, we are told. Even when it is ignored and trivialized, perhaps mocked. And the question for us is, do we choose to follow God's way or the way of those around us? The way of secularism, the way of taking whatever we can and ignoring everybody else. We're challenged by the world around us. But how do we react to that challenge? Does it make us more focused on our faith? Or does it make us want to not be noticed too much, not stand out from the crowd, just in case people might make fun of us? Of course, it's comfortable to withdraw into a holy huddle, which is so often what we do, and forget about the world around us. But is that the life to which we are called by God, by Jesus? Or are we challenged with all the difficulties and at times the fear that it may bring into our lives to live, as the prophet Micah called, to live justly, to love mercy, to walk humbly with our God? We have that choice. And until we make that choice, until we're certain in that choice, then every other choice is irrelevant. Because that is the one big choice we are given in life, to serve God or to serve mammon. I'm not a great one for poetry. I don't usually understand poetry, to be quite honest. It's all too deep for me. But there are a few poets who actually are quite understandable. One of them is the American Robert Frost. He talks of going a journey, a walk in a wood, and finding where two paths diverged. He had to choose. He says, two roads diverged in a wood, and I took the one less traveled by, and that has made all the difference. Do we want to just be carried along in the wave of the world? Or are we prepared to stand where we believe we should stand, to make the choice this day to serve the Lord? And the urgency of the church, of the choice, shouldn't escape us. We read that passage from Luke's Gospel. It's an interesting passage. I'm here for three Sundays. You may or may not be glad to know, but I am here for three Sundays. And I thought we would kind of do encounters with Jesus, you might call it, a little mini-series, encounters with Jesus. This is a very interesting encounter with Jesus. We always think of Jesus calling people to follow him, and he did, of course. But here he's almost telling people to go away. Not because he doesn't want them to follow him, but because they're not ready to follow him. Jesus had begun his journey up to Jerusalem, and he knew that in Jerusalem the disciples were going to find real testing, because things were going to happen that they never, ever expected, just as they happen for us in life when we don't expect them. Events there for the disciples would be confusing and challenging. Jesus would be arrested, he'd be scourged, he'd be mocked, he'd be crucified, and the disciples would be flattened. They didn't know where to turn. And so he knew that he needed to have with him people who really understood the challenge ahead, who wanted to follow him, who wanted to be real disciples and stay with him through all the challenge. He needed people who would stand out from the crowd, just as he needs people to stand out for the crowd today. And at the point we join the gospel story, Jesus is choosing his disciples, people in whom he detected potential. They weren't the finished article, of course they weren't. But he saw that they had potential. We often talk of 12 disciples, and there were 12 who were particularly close to Jesus. But as we read the Gospels, it's very clear that he had many other disciples. Just after this point in Luke's account, he's about to send 72 out into the mission field. But here, he comes across some people who weren't quite ready. He's challenging them to be prepared. The first man was quite a cocky kind of a guy. He was self-assured. And so he came up to Jesus. He didn't even wait for Jesus to call him. He just said, "I will follow you wherever you go." But Jesus knew he hadn't thought the thing through. The Son of Man has no place to lay his head. Jesus was saying to the man, "Look, you've got to think carefully about this. Is it really what you want?" And so do we. Perhaps we live too comfortably in church. Perhaps we become too complacent. The Christian life is great, provided it doesn't disturb us too much. and as long as we can still maintain a reasonably comfortable lifestyle without too many challenges. But is that really what Jesus offers? Or does Jesus tell us that if we are to follow him, we must be prepared for the difficulties, for the challenges? We must be prepared to stay with him. Then there was a second man. He was invited by Jesus to follow. So Jesus saw potential in this one. And indeed the man would have liked to follow Jesus. But he said, first, let me go and bury my father. Now what Luke doesn't tell us is whether his father had actually died or even was close to it. What this man was really saying, or seems to be saying, is that he was interested in coming along with Jesus. He could see a lot of sense in that, and perhaps even advantage to it. But he wanted to wait until his personal circumstances changed a bit. And then he would have more freedom to come and to follow Jesus. Let the dead bury their own dead, said Jesus. Harsh words. You go and proclaim the kingdom of God. When Jesus invites us to follow, it's now. Now he wants us to go out and proclaim his kingdom, not just by what we say, but by the way we live. To let others see that Jesus is alive and living in us and in the church. There's an urgency about it. Or as Joshua said, choose today whom you will serve. Just one further man. He offered to follow Jesus. But first, let me go back and say goodbye to my family. Very reasonable, isn't it? Families are important. And of course, Jesus would have seen family as important. Family is a gift from God. If we go back to Joshua, I always find it interesting that Joshua didn't say, I will serve the Lord. He said, as for me and my house, my family, we will serve the Lord. The two are intertwined, because that's another thing we need to remember, especially if we've young children around us. The choices we make affect our families. When we choose to follow Jesus, our family is likely to come with us. And so the choice we make is not an individual choice. It's a choice for us and for our families and for those who are around us, because we will influence many other people. When we look at Jesus' reply to this man, I suspect that what he detected was that he would always be distracted by something else. Something good, like family, perhaps. But something which stopped him from focusing on Jesus and serving him. And so Jesus said, no one puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God. Don't know much about ploughing, to be perfectly honest, but I'm told that if you really want to plough a straight furrow, you look far away, the other side of the field, and keep your eyes fixed on that point. If we want to live a life for Jesus, we need to be focused on him and on him alone, setting aside even the good things in life. They will fit into place. But first we make the choice to follow Jesus, and all else will follow from that. St. Paul puts it in his letter to the Philippians, so I run straight towards the goal in order to win the prize, which is God's call through Christ Jesus to the life above. many choices, but only one that affects everything. Choose today whom you will serve. Amen.